Number 675, He is Able. Let's find out, and then we'll sing that together as we begin our Sunday school hour.
He is able, He is able, I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He is able, He is able, I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He is able, He is able. I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
On your handout, page 2, the date is the 23rd of June, and my fingers didn't distinguish sometimes between June and July. You'll see that in your bulletins today. There are a couple of Junes that need to be changed to Julys. Okay, at the top of our handout, it says, I typed review. The meaning of spirit in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is, any guesses at that? What is the meaning of spirit in both the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Breath
is one of them. Wind is another. I couldn't hear you, but I saw you. Okay. Without breath, we wouldn't be able to speak, would we? There, that's necessary. What else? Okay, a blast of air. Remember, I used a tank of compressed air last week just for fun. Of course, this speaks of a powerful, unseen force. That's so in the blanks, the fourth blank would be force. The spirit that we will continue to study is holy. There are other spirits which are unholy. Let me give you two examples. There are many in the Bible. Luke 8, verse 2. Go to Luke 8, everyone. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Jesus is in Galilee here and meets up with Mary Magdalene. All of you have heard of her, I'm sure. Verse 1, Luke 8, 1, and it came to pass after that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Not all spirits are holy. Certainly, there are many that are not. Go to 1 John. We looked at this last time, 2 weeks ago. 1 John, chapter 4. I'll just read a few verses. Well, no, I'll ask someone to please read verses 1 through 3. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. There are unholy spirits, and there is one Holy Spirit. That's the one we'll be studying, okay? Let's go to His personhood. His personhood. On the handout, number 1. His personhood. A, the Holy Spirit is the least understood person of the, guess what word I want to put in that blank? Godhead, that's right. Romans 1, verse 20. It doesn't speak of the Holy Spirit here, but the Godhead. Romans 1, verse 20. This is what we read there. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That is not a mistake. That's in the Bible. So that they are without excuse. The Bible talks of the Godhead. Colossians 2, verse 9. Jesus Christ is the one who is in view here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? The Holy Spirit, I would say, and others have said, so did Charles Ryrie, that he is the least understood person of the Godhead. Go to, in your book, if you have that from Charles Ryrie, to the opening statement, page 67, under the Holy Spirit. Undoubtedly, the least understood person of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. As proof, just notice the difficult words in the preceding sentence. Person. What does that mean when speaking of three persons, yet one God? Godhead. Why add the head? And spirit seems a strange word to use of a person. Spirit is a neuter gender. It doesn't have masculine or feminine connotations. Anyway, why use spirit? Anyway, yet a proper understanding of the Spirit is basic to many doctrines, and it certainly is. Inspiration of the Bible is an example. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, if you will. It's inspired, okay? Several important aspects of salvation. You remember in Titus 3:5, it tells us that we are not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so there's several. Anyway, that was just a little introduction by Charles Ryrie. And I have my bookmark here, and I think I've shown this before. Dr. Kober and Dr. Ryrie were standing side by side by Dr. Ryrie's Bible collection in this picture, and I dated it. Wow, it was December 2015. Dr. Ryrie went home to heaven early in 2016. Anyway, I talked with Dr. Kober yesterday about a different matter on the phone. That was kind of fun. He's probably not going to be able to travel here anymore, but we have enjoyed him in the past. Let's go on to letter B. Under his personhood, letter B, the Holy Spirit is not merely a mode or energy that extends from God. Okay, people have claimed that. And, of course, Hollywood has even done a lot with that concept. No, the Holy Spirit's not merely a mode or an energy force or whatever that extends from God. He is a real person. Letter C, he is a real person. Because he is referred to with masculine pronouns. Do you want an example? Number one, put in the blank he, H-E. Go to John 15, everybody. John chapter 15. Jesus speaking to his 11 disciples here in John chapter 15. Judas Iscariot had already left. Verse 26. Maybe for the sake of emphasis, I'll read it with emphasis on the masculine pronoun. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, Jesus said. Go to chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Remember that verse? How about verses 13 and 14? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. I think you get the idea. Of course. A person, I'll back up and I'll say it differently. A mode or an energy force, it is not referred to with masculine pronouns. That's just not the way it works. So some have said, because of this, referring to the Spirit, which is neuter in gender, it defies proper grammar, but it is exactly what the Holy Spirit intended when John wrote this. Okay? At any rate, it proves his personhood. The masculine pronouns used of the Holy Spirit. Letter D, he performs actions of a person. Okay. Actions of a person. These are proofs of his personhood. Number one, he commands and directs people. Go to Acts 8, verses 29 and 30. Someone please read those. Acts 8, 29 and 30. The Holy Spirit said, go, and Philip went. He commands and directs people. Since you're there, drop down toward the end of the chapter. He performs miracles. It's not just a force or a mode, but he performs miracles. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Letter D, number 3, he calls for special service. Go to Acts 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. He calls for special service. Barnabas and Saul are named in verse 1. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Spirit is a real person because he performs actions of a person. He directs, he does miracles, he calls. And number 4, he sends forth into Christian service. Look at verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So he sends forth into Christian service. Number 5, he intercedes in prayer for us. Only a person can do that. Intercession is a plea or a petition on behalf of someone else. It takes a person to do that. Okay. I'd like for us to go to Romans chapter 8 and spend a moment in verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, if I remember right, it's 20 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in chapter 8. When we get to verses 26 and 27, there's more than I listed on our handouts, okay? I'd like to ask you to look at those two verses, ponder them, and name some of the actions that only a person can do. I'm not saying we can do everything that is listed here, but because, as we'll see, his deity in a little while, it is the actions of a real person. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I'll be quiet for a moment. verses 26 and 27, raise your hand and tell us some of the actions of his personhood. Yes? He helps us in our infirmities. Have you ever had an infirmity? Did he help you? Of course he did. If you're a believer, what else? He makes intercession for us, as we just said. Yes. What else does he do? What's that?
Groans.
He groans. I just heard somebody clear their throat, and Monetta says, I groan a lot. Modes can't do that, you guys. This is proof of his personhood, okay? He groans. That is an inner ache for us. He cares for us and groans for us. Okay, what else?
Searches.
What was that?
Searches.
He searches. That's right. Searches what? Our hearts. He knows our hearts because he's God, but he searches. What else? He knows the will of God, and of course, he intercedes properly for us. Here's something that stood out to me as I read those two verses. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's the Holy Ghost from verse 26, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Okay, he has a mind, okay? That's proof of his personhood. Modes are, if you will, energy forces don't have a mind. This is certainly infinitely beyond AI. AI is not a person and never will be. And that is a caution for us as our world is thrust headlong into this AI technology, of course. It's not a person. People, sadly, are so gullible, they'll think that is real, and it's not. There's AI Jesus out there. I've read a couple of articles. Some of you have too, where people can ask Jesus questions. But it's not a real person. It's artificial. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that yet, Carol. I'm not surprised, I guess. That certainly will happen in the future. Sci-fi stuff, you guys. But this is real. This is real, and we need to keep this distinct from the artificial. And it is artificial. Let's not lose sight of that word. Okay? So I enjoyed those two verses in Romans chapter 8. Let's go to the middle letter, or I'm sorry, the letter E in the middle of our page. That's what I was trying to say. He receives ascriptions of a person. He can be, does anyone know the content of Acts 5:3? Okay, Ananias and Sapphira. Early in the church, people did share and help each other with daily provisions and housing and all of that. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land. Ascriptions. Yes. Mm-hmm. ASCRIPTIONS. Ascriptions of a person. I looked for a better word. That's the best one I could come up with, okay? a synonym for ascriptions is attributes, but that doesn't quite fit what I'm trying to show us here, okay? So bear with me. You might come up with a better word than ascriptions of a person. Number one, he can be lied to. You can't lie to a mode. Acts 5:3. I was giving you some of the... Let's stick with Acts 5 for just a moment and read some of that account. Let's see. May I ask if someone would read verses 1 through, I guess, 6, okay? Someone read Acts 5, 1 through 6. It is one of those proof texts of the deity of the Holy Spirit as well, because it says in verse 3 that they lied to the Holy Ghost, and in verse 5, verse 4, lied to God, okay? Verse 4, thou hast lied not unto men, or not lied unto men, but unto God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the point is, you can't lie to a mode. No, this is a real person we're dealing with here. The Holy Spirit is real and a person. Number two, he can be obeyed. Obeyed. We already read Acts 13, verses 4 and 5. When the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And then in verse 4, they were led by the Holy Spirit. And what did Paul and Barnabas do? They went. They obeyed him. You can't obey a mode, but you certainly must obey God in the person of the Holy Spirit. Number three, he can be resisted. Go to Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Jesus was being certainly very forceful in this context. But he mentioned, of course, resisting the Holy Spirit. Only a person can be resisted. I suppose we might make an argument otherwise, but this is an ascription of a person. Number four, he can be grieved. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Someone please read that. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Juanetta was reading Ephesians earlier this week, or last week, I'm sorry. And it's one of her favorite books of the Bible. Ephesians 4, verse 30. It makes the Holy Spirit sad when, verse 29, corrupt communication proceeds out of our mouth. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Only a person can grieve like that. I suppose we could imply then, when we do that which is good to the edifying of others, it makes the Holy Spirit, because he's a person, joyful. Okay? And in the verse that Alan just read, he seals unto the day of redemption. And that is one of his past ministries for us and present ministries for those who do become born again in our day and age. But that's not what I'm trying to prove here in this. I'm trying to prove personhood by him receiving some sort of ascription as a person, okay? He can be grieved. He can be blasphemed, number five. Number five under letter E, he can be blasphemed. Now, we could really get off on a rabbit trail here, everybody. People ask me, is this the unpardonable sin? Have you ever heard that question being asked, you know? Well, Jesus describes the unpardonable sin, if you will, here, and I do not believe this can be committed today. If a person denies Christ all the way to the end of their life, that sin would be unpardoned at that point, but that's not. What's in view here is the Pharisees and the way they ascribe to the Holy Spirit. Ascribed works of the Holy Spirit through Jesus to the devil. Anyway, Matthew 12, verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. It's a serious matter, but it is one of those proofs that the Holy Spirit's a person. He can be blasphemed. Okay? Letter F, the deity of the Holy Spirit. Number one, his association. Okay, so F is deity. One is association with the Father and the Son. When on July 7th, we are out at the South Dickey Lake Campground, I will cite this verse, if I'm healthy enough to do so, at any rate. Matthew 28, verse 19, you would know the Great Commission that the Lord gave just before leaving this earth. Jesus said in verse 18 that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of what, everyone?
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's correct. So his association with the Father and the Son proves he is God himself. Go to 2 Corinthians 13:14. Wow, I'm going slowly. Someone please read that. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Thank you very much. That is a, if you will, proof text about the triunity of God, and the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is mentioned as God along with the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. Okay, his association with the Father and the Son. Number two, he is equal with the Father and the Son. Go to John 14:16. Ooh, and I had a typo there. Galatians should be capitalized. Anyway, John 14:16, and then we'll go to Galatians 4. John 14:16. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Father and Jesus Christ are the ones who send the Holy Spirit, but he is equal in that the word comforter, as in, I'm sorry, another, before another comforter. Comforter is the word parakletos, and we know that's one who comes alongside. The word another is not another of a different kind. Like, they're similar, but they're not exactly the same kind, are they? This word is another of exactly the same kind. This Greek word, those who fluently read this would understand it's exactly the same kind, not a similar kind. Okay? So there's an equality there. In Galatians 4:1-6, we read, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There, the context demands an equality in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is equal with the Father and the Son. Number three, his attributes. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. He knows all things. He is omnipresent. There is no place, King David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 7, that we can hide from his spirit. He is omnipotent. Genesis 1:2 explains or describes his part in the creation of the world. He is omnipotent. Job 33, verse 4 is worth looking at, even though I'm watching the clock. Job 33, verse 4 is worth citing. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Breath is that word spirit also, okay? Not only is he, I said, well, omniscient, omnipresent. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He made mankind, and he is attributed as giving life. We'll see life again in a moment. He is holy. That goes in the blank. Luke 11:13. He is truth. 1 John 5, verse 6. And he is life. Romans 8:2, Romans 8:11, Titus 3:5, which I already quoted a little bit ago. He is holy, he is truth, and he is life, the last three blanks. So I typed this out as I wrapped up this lesson. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is in our world and in our lives, aren't you? I'm glad. And next week we'll have Aaron Peterson with us, but we'll continue the study after that. And I was going to have us read John 16, verses 7 through 15, but we've already read part of that. So you can read that for yourself. Let's wrap up in prayer, everyone, and enjoy visiting with those between this hour and the next. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would continue to teach us out of your word. And as we consider the real person of the Godhead that we know through your word as the Holy Spirit, I ask you, Heavenly Father, that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit, but that we would please you, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, I ask you that in this life, we would be aware that every moment the Holy Spirit is with us and in us forever. Lord, I ask you that that would affect the way we think and talk and our actions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.